Yeshaya Perek Tes Zayin. We're in the middle of the Nevuos, the prophecies concerning Moav. We spoke about it last week, and this week we'll finish up the discussion about Moav. Shilchu Kar. The first pasuk says, Shilchu Kar, send fat sheep. Moshel Eretz, ruler of the land, Misela Midbara, from the rock of the wilderness, El Har Bas Tzion, to the mountain Bas Tzion, the daughter of Tzion, meaning send to Yerushalayim. Before we mention how the Meforshim on the Pasuk explain it, I wanted to learn the Gemara in Sanhedrin on Sadi Vov Amud Beis. We've mentioned before, Moav didn't directly attack Klal Yisrael. The main complaint against Moav was they're so close to us. They're a blood relative. They come from Lot, who is Avram Avinu's nephew, and Lot was so close with Avram, and they live geographically right near Eretz Yisrael. It would be expected for them to join the Jewish people to help out. And instead, Moav went against and hurt Klal Yisrael. And the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, on Tzadi Vav Amud Beis, Amun and Moav, Shiva vi Bishid Yerushalayim Havu. Amun and Moav, those two nations, were the bad neighbors of Yerushalayim. Kivan de Shaminu Nevi, they heard the Nevi'im, the Kamis Naboi, who were prophesizing L'churbanad Yerushalayim, that Yerushalayim would be destroyed. That was the talk. The Nevi'im had been saying that Klal Yisrael wasn't doing tshuva, and because of their sins, the Beis HaMikdash would be destroyed. And there was an awareness of the Nevuos, the prophecies. So Sholchu Nebuchadnezzar, they sent a message to Nebuchadnezzar. Puk v'toh! Come out from your land and come to Yerushalayim. You'll conquer it. Omar, so Nebuchadnezzar said, Mistafina, I'm afraid. They shouldn't do to me like they did to my predecessors. He knew well what happened to Sancheiriv. Sancheiriv's whole army was wiped out outside Yerushalayim. Sholchulei, so they sent back a message to Nebuchadnezzar. Ki eino ish beveso. This is a paraphrase of a pasuk over there in Mishlei. It's discussing about a woman who's immoral, and she assures the people that she sins with, don't worry, the husband's not home, he's not coming back for a while. But the Gemara uses that pasuk, ki eino ish beveso. The man is not in his house, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu's not in the Beis HaMikdash. Holach b'derech l'meirochok. HaKadosh Baruch Hu went on a long journey. Don't worry, you can come to Yerushalayim and do what you want. Hashem's not there. Ish is referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it says, Hashem Ish Milchama. Hashem is called like the man of war by Kriyas Yamsuf. Sholach lehu. So Nebuchadnezzar sent back a message. Bikrivahu. I'm afraid that he's close. Vasi, and he'll come back. Sholchu, they responded, actually, the rest of that pasuk, Holach b'derech meirochok, no, he's on a distant journey. Sholach lehu Nebuchadnezzar sent, Yis lehu tzadiki, but there are righteous among the Klal Yisrael. Debo rachmi, they're going to be mispalel, they'll daven, umaisulei, and they'll bring the Shechina back. So I'm going to come to Yerushalayim, and all I need is that the tzadikim are going to daven, and then the Shechina is going to come back, and then I'm going to be lost. Sholchulei, so Amun and Moav sent back a message, Tzror HaKesef Lokach Biyodo. Don't worry. It's again like this woman assuring her sinners that, don't worry, the husbands went on a far journey. They take that pasuk. He's taken his bag of money. In other words, he's on a distant journey, and he has his money with him. He's not coming back so soon. Vein Kesef El Tzadikim, and it is a pasuk that Kesef can be referring to the Tzadikim. As a Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Tzadikim were already nifter. There are no Tzadikim left, or whatever, that are going to daven for them. Sholach Lehu. So Nebuchadnezzar sent back a response. Okay, maybe they won't have tzaddikim to daven, but Hadri Rashi be tshuva. They might be Rishoyim now. What if they do tshuva? Uvo Rachme, and then once they do tshuva, then their tefillah will be accepted. Umaisile, and then they'll bring back HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Yerushalayim. Sholach Lehu. So Amon Amor sent back a message. Kvar Kovala Hanzman. Hashem's already set the time. Liyom Hakesa Yovo Beso, he's going to come by the set time. And this Churban has already been predetermined. And then there's going to be a 70 years of Golos, which was already foretold. Don't have to worry. You can destroy Yerushalayim and you'll be safe. Sholach Lehu, and Nebuchadnezzar still was insistent. Sisvahu, it's the winter. V'lo matzina dosi, I can't come, mitalgo, mimitra, the snows and rain. Sholach Lehu, they sent in the message. Toa shino detura, come by the cliff of the mountain. Come on the side of the mountain, and you'll be protected from the elements. Shenemar, as this pasuk says, Shilchu kar Moshel Eretz. The way we're interpreting the pasuk, Shilchu kar, send the fattened sheep, meaning actually those people who raised the sheep. Moab was a pasture land. That's why B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven wanted to have that land on the other side of the Yarden. They had a lot of flocks of sheep, and that was ideal for raising animals. Shilchu kar, you people who are involved in sheep and raising animals, you should send Misela Mibora from the rock of the wilderness. Send him a message that he can come by way of the rock. And Nebuchadnezzar, if he travels the right way to Yerushalayim, he won't be hit with the winds, with the snow and with the rains. El Har Bas Tzion, and he can approach and that way come to Yerushalayim. Sholach Lehu. But Nebuchadnezzar sent back one last statement. Iosino, if I come, lasli duchta diasivna bay, I won't have a place to stay. Where am I going to house all my army while I'm involved in capturing them, capturing Yerushalayim? Sholchule, they sent an answer. Kiros shalahem, their graves, mu'ulim mipaltirin shalcha, are better than your palaces. In other words, in those days, they used to make, there were graves actually in caves. They hewed out a place in the cave, and that's where there are many people buried in caves. But you can take your army and go into those caves that are used as kivorim, as graves, and don't worry, it's better than your palaces. El Har Bas Tzion, the mountain of Bas Tzion, even as a mountain, as a stony, rocky area, don't worry, there'll be a place for your troops. And they encourage Nebuchadnezzar to come. The Mefarshim on the Pasuk, again, the Gemara darshens it to show again where the, in other words, Moab wasn't the one who did the Churban. But out of all people to advise and to encourage the enemies of Klal Yisrael, Moab shouldn't be the ones. And therefore Moab is held to blame. The Mefarshim on the Pasuk explains, Shilchu kar. There is, in Melachim Beis, Perek Gimel, there's a Pasuk as follows. It says that, Umeisha, Perek Gimel, Pasuk Dalet, in Melachim Beis, Umeisha Melech Moav, Mesha was the king of Moab, Hayanokeid. He was a herdsman. He had a lot of animals. Beheshiv lemelech Yisrael, he used to pay to the king of Yisrael, Meya elef karim, 100,000 fattened up sheep, Umeya elef elim somer, and 100,000 woolly rams. As every year, he used to pay a tribute to the melech Yisrael to leave him alone. And then he rebelled, this was in the times of Achav, and he stopped paying the tribute. When Achav died, right after Achav died, Vahib Bemos Achav, after the death of Achav, who is the king of Yisrael, Vayivsha Melech Moav b'Melech Yisrael, the king of Moav stopped paying the tribute. Shilchu Kar. Here the Novi says to Moav, go ahead and send those fattened sheep. Moshel Eretz, send it to the ruler of the land. It's no longer the king of Yisrael. Sancheiriv came and exiled the 10 tribes. But there's a new ruler. And the ruler is in Yehuda. And he's a tremendous tzaddik. Chizkiyo HaMelech. Send the fattened sheep Moshel Eretz to the ruler in Moab, should send these fattened sheep, Misela Mibora, from the rock of the wilderness, either that was their fortress, some learn it was the capital city of Moab, was Sela Mibora, this fortress, this rock in the desert, and send the fattened sheep now, El Har Bas-Tzion. Send it now to Yerushalayim. And it's not just a question of the monetary value, it's more showing their subservience and the fact that they realize that Klal Yisrael is Hashem's nation, and they're obligated to help out and to assist and to align themselves with Klal Yisrael. The Ma'ari Kora and the Radak bring down a number of different explanations. Another explanation, which we'll get to in the Malbim, the Malbim says, Shilchu Kar, Kar can mean a runner. Lakorim is a people who ran quickly. And as the Malbim explains it, Yeshaya is telling them, Shilchu Kar, go ahead and send your quick runner, Moshel Eretz, the ruler of the land, the ruler himself of Moab should be the one to run. Misela Mibora, and send this messenger from the rock in the desert, El Har Bas-Tzion, to the mountain of Yerushalayim. Just to quote the words of the Malbim. The Malbim explains his approach to the next few psukim. And he says as follows. The previous parak discussed the destruction of Moav, that the rivers are going to be red with blood, and there's going to be crying all over, and they're going to ascend the mountains crying, and they're going to not going to be able to fight, and they'll pull out their hair from anguish. That was the previous parak. Over here, the Novi is advising Moav how they can be saved. What should they do? They're being destroyed now. The country is going to be ransacked. He's advising them, Eichi Notzlu, how can they be saved? And the Novi says they ain lohem hatzola rak li shloach shliach livnei Yerushalayim. Their only advice is, the only counsel he can offer is let them send a messenger to Yerushalayim. Ulevakesh meitam sheyitnu lohem cherus logur ulistater be'eretz Yehuda. Send your request to Eretz Yisrael and say, you know what, the enemy came, he's destroying the country, let us flee and find refuge. We have refugees. Accept us and let us come into the land of Yehuda. And they're going to tell in this pasuk exactly what the shliach should say, beginning in pasuk gimel of this parak. And the Novi is promising them that don't worry, if you ask B'nai Yehuda to help you, they will accept you, they'll allow you into the country. But the Navi Yeshaya already foresaw that Moab is going to be so haughty, they're not going to want to humble themselves and ask the Jews to help them out. It's almost reminiscent. There have been natural disasters, and there have been times that the Jews have offered to help, and the victims have said, you know, they'd rather suffer, but they don't want to accept any help from the state of Israel, any Jews. Anyway, so the Navi is saying to Moav, you're guilty yourself. You're guilty. Whatever suffering you have is your own fault. Because I'm advising you what you should do. Shilchu Kar Moshel Eretz. Send as a quick messenger. Moshel Eretz, let the ruler himself go. Misela Midbara, let the ruler of Moav go and leave his palace, leave his capital city, and run El Har Bas-Tzion. Run to Yerushalayim and make a plea that they should help you out. And we'll see what the plea is. The other approach, as we've mentioned in the Meforshim, is the Navi's telling Moav, Shilchu kar moshel eretz. Again, you should send your fattened animals, misoa mibora, from your desert palace, El Har Bastion. Once again, you should be paying the tribute to Chizkiyo HaMelech and realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all the blessings and everything that good that comes to the world is channeled and funneled through Yerushalayim, and that the king there is Chizkiyo, and Klal Yisrael is serving Hashem, and you should send the messenger El Har Bastion. As I say, this prophecy, Yeshaya lived at the times of Chizkiyo, which was, he lived through Sancheiriv's destruction. And according to the Gemara, he was saying about what would happen not that much later, in the times of Nebuchadnezzar, when Nebuchadnezzar is actually going to destroy Yerushalayim. And as a third way of understanding the Pasuk, Shilchu Kar, the people in Moab sent a message to the fat sheep of Moab and told them, you know what? The Shilchu Kar, those people of Moab with the sheep, sent a message to Nebuchadnezzar that he should come El Har Bastion and conquer Yerushalayim. According to those who learn that Moab should help out and should pay a tribute, if not, they're going to be like a wandering bird. Kain Meshulach, like a nest. Meshulach, whose chicks have been sent away and the nest is abandoned. Tiena Benos Moav, so too the daughters of Moav, or perhaps the cities, the outlying cities around the capital, but the daughters of Moav, or the cities of Moav, will all be Maboros La'Arnon. They're all going to be sent to the crossing of Arnon. Arnon was a border city, and they're all going to be taken as captives. If you don't realize your place and help out and send your fattened sheep, if you continue, and we'll see later on what they did against Eretz Yisrael, but what's going to happen is Moab is going to be exiled. Havi Eitza, in learning through these psukim with this approach, Havi Eitza, the Navi says to Moab, you should give a counsel. Asi Plila. And if you're not sure, take a counsel if you don't know what to do. And then I see plila, you have to execute judgment. Make a decision that you're going to do what's right. Shisi chalayo tzileich. When there are Jews that are fleeing the enemy, you should make as dark as the night your shadow, your shade. Besoch tzorayim, when it's in the blistering noontime sun, in a figurative sense, under the sun, give them a nice dark shade to escape from the heat. In other words, make your land available, satri nidochim, those who are dispersed, and those who are outcast from Eretz Yisrael, hide them. And if somebody wanders into your land, nodet al tagali, don't reveal those that are wandering around. Rashi learns that this is referring to in the times of Nebuchadnezzar. That by in the times of Nebuchadnezzar, when the Churban comes and there's going to be Jews fleeing, you should be paying the tribute. Moab is going to be destroyed. And Moab should take a lesson from what's going to happen to them and realize that when Klal Yisrael is suffering, they should help out. They should have a feeling for what it's like to be punished. And they should provide refuge for the Jews that are fleeing. Satri nidochim, noted al tagali, the one that's wandering, the Jews, don't reveal where they are. Don't tell the enemy where there's a Jew hiding. Yoguru boch nidochai, those that are my refugees should be able to live among you. Moav, hevi seser lama, Moav, you should be a seser, a shelter for them. Mipnei shodei, from the pillager, from the enemy that's taking everything they have. Ki ofes hametz, because the oppressor is gone. If you would do that and just provide the Jews a refuge for a short time, Nebuchadnezzar is not going to remain in Eretz Yisrael long. There'll be the Churban, and then ofes hametz. And then the oppressor will be gone. Kol ashod, The persecutor is finished. Tamu romes mino aretz. And those who trample are terminated, are finished. They'll no longer be in the land of Eretz Yisrael. All they need is a temporary place to stay. And then they'll be able to go back to Eretz Yisrael. As we learned, the Golus Bava was only 70 years. But even before that, there'd be times that they'd be able to come back. According to the Malbim, that this was a message to Moav. Moav, you're going to be destroyed. And what you should do is Shilchu Kar Moshel Eretz. Take the ruler and let the ruler run himself. You Moshel Eretz, you ruler over Moav, become a runner. Miselam Ibora, from your capital city, El Harbas Tzion, to the mountain of Tzion. Vohoya Kaof Nodeid. There's two ways a bird leaves a nest. One is if the bird wanders on its own and it doesn't have a nest. The other one is if the nest is actually taken away from the bird and the bird feels that its home was destroyed and now it's forced to wander because it has no home. So too, Moav is in their country and the enemy is coming. V'hoya ka'of nodeid. Moav is going to be like the wandering bird. But it's not just going to be like the wandering bird that's able to go on their own. If Moav comes to Eretz Yisrael and Moav asks for a refuge, then Moav can be like this Ofnodeid. If not, it's going to be a Kain Meshulach. It's going to be a nest from which they're going to be driven. The enemy will come and destroy Moav, and all of a sudden the people will see they have no homes, they have nothing. But if you quickly go in advance and you try to make an arrangement to flee and to come to Yehuda, you'll have a refuge. Havi Eitza. So you're going to come. Now these are the words what the king of Moab should say to Chizkio. Let him say when he arrives into Yerushalayim the following. Sometimes an enemy has the resources, they have the army, they have the weapons, but they're just not trained. They don't know how to fight. In that case, Havi Eitza, they ask for counsel, for guidance. Can you advise us how we should be able to fight against the enemy? And there are times when it doesn't help to just give advice. They simply can't fight the enemy, they're not strong enough. And at that point, they'll have to ask Yehuda, Asi Pelila, can you do judgment for us? Can you carry our cause and fight against the enemy? And there are times when the enemy is so strong that the best strategies and advice doesn't help. Sending extra forces is not sufficient. And it's a lost battle. But Shisi Chalayel Tzilech, ask the king of Yehuda, could you perhaps make Eretz Yisrael dark like the night, Besoch Tzorayim, under the noontime sun? Give us a place to hide. And not only that, not just give us a place like a location, and we'll move our whole country and all those refugees, and we'll set up a refugee camp, swarming with all those people from Moab, and we'll be in a certain area of Yehuda. But Satri Nidochim, ask further, that if people wander outside their safe zone, and they leave these camps, hide them. Obviously, it's, you know, think of the example of the refugee camps, but in those days we're dealing with refugees where the Jews weren't threatened at all. Moab was not going to attack. Moab had lost the war. But it was just a mission of compassion. Satri Nidochim, ask the Jews if they'll hide those that wander away. If they leave the safe zone, at least hide them. No did al tagali. If somebody wanders, don't reveal to the enemy where they are. And the third level is not just give them a safe area, and not just don't turn in those that wander outside of their area, but yaguru v'ach nidochai. Let my refugees live freely in Eretz Yisrael, Moav. This is what Moav should say. Have you say, Sir Lomo Mipnei Shodei, be a shelter for my people Moab. This is what the ruler of Moab should say. Because the enemy that's plundering. Ki ofeis hameitz. Moab we're comparing. Moab was the area that raised the sheep, that had an abundance of milk. We're comparing Moab where the enemy is sucking and nursing all that wealth and all that, like you take the milk out of the sheep, they're taking all the wealth out of Moab. And ki ofeis hameitz, the enemy that's sucking and taking all the wealth out of Moab is finished. Because Kola showed here can mean like Shadayim, the breasts, or the nursing from the animal. Kola showed there's no abundance, there's no source of wealth. Tamu romes min ha'aretz. And not only is there no showed, but the animal that carries the Shadayim, that carried the milk, the whole animal's gone. In other words, Moab's wealth is totally destroyed, and therefore there's nothing left. The enemy came and is going to destroy the country. So go to Yehuda and make a request. Can you help us out? Give us a place to stay. And perhaps Moab would be concerned. What kind of a reception are they going to get? Begging for such a favor, especially they weren't good neighbors themselves. But the Nevi assures them, V'huchan b'chesed kisei, the throne of Chizkiyo will be established with chesed, with kindness. V'yoshav alav be'emes, and he'll sit on this throne with truth. Some learner means true kindness. He's not going to be looking at what he's going to get out of it and what the future benefits will be. But in truth, he'll help you out. Bo'ohel David, he'll be in the tent of David, he'll be in Yerushalayim. Shofet is going to be a judge who's Chizkiyo. And he's not just somebody who judges, but he's Doreg Shmishpat. He seeks justice. Or he's proactive and he's looking to help others. And once he knows what the correct thing is to do and what justice is, umihir tzedek, he's zealous and quick to carry through tzedek, his righteousness. And Pasuk Beis, and Pasuk Gimel, just there was actually a kri and a ksiv. The Pasuk is written havi with a vav, like haviyu eitza, asu plila, in the plural. The Navi's addressing it to the nation of Moab. Haviyu, as a group, you should all give this counsel and this advice. We read it Havi'i as if it's addressed to every individual. This is a plea to the nation of Moab. It's a plea to the individuals of Moab. Either, as many Mephorshim learn, that they should care for those of those Jews who wander into their land. Don't turn them over to Nebuchadnezzar. Take care of them. Or as the Malbim says, everyone come to realize that if you'll only ask, from Chizkiyo and from Yehuda, the Jews will help you out. That's all you need to do. Shamanu Gaon Moav. But the nations of the world who are ready to destroy Moav. Shamanu, some of Forshim learned, this is what the nations of the world say. Shamanu Gaon Moav. We've heard of the pride of Moav. Gay Moav. Moab is very, very proud. There's a certain haughtiness. Gavoso, his haughtiness, Ugaono, and his pride. Vevroso, and the scorn, the hatred he has for Klal Yisrael. Lochein Badov. It's untrue deceptions. Badov is something that is made up, that's not true. Lochein Badov, his thoughts are not correct and are not justified. According to the Malbim, it means that Moab is just going to refuse to accept help. We know they're very pride, they have a pride, and there's a hatred to Klal Yisrael that they never wanted to accept a favor. They would never want to accept anything from Klal Yisrael because they know that they don't want to have to do with Klal Yisrael despite all the chesed that Klal Yisrael has done for them. Gaon is the pride that is justified. It's a fact, it's what a person has, his wealth, his honor, it's what he has. Gavosu is his haughtiness, meaning it's his thoughts. You can have a person who's haughty and he really has nothing to be so proud of. And then there are those who have what to be proud of, and yet they're humble. Gavosu is his mind, his thoughts. He has a haughtiness. In Gaono, and Gaon is the actual pride, his success and his accomplishments. Moav was proud because they did have accomplishments. They had a beautiful country that was successful and for centuries hadn't been, as we mentioned last week, the Pasuk in Yirmiyah said that Moav hadn't been poured, was like a liquid that hadn't been poured from one vessel to another. Lo hurak mikli al keli, they had been settled on their land. Shanan Moav mina urov, from the beginning Moav was tranquil. Moav had a very stable, successful, safe country. They were proud. They were proud, and they also had a certain haughtiness that in their mindset, even though they saw the enemy was coming and they saw their destruction, but they could never ask a favor. Certainly not from someone like Klal Yisrael, that Evroso, there was this hatred. Rashi says Evroso, the first explanation of Rashi is Iburo veheroyon shalo. The pregnancy, the conception and the pregnancy of Moav, Lochein Bada, was untrue and was wrong. As we've mentioned, this is the Nevuah that Yeshaya says about Moav. Some of this was discussed last week, and I'd like to touch on, perhaps we didn't elaborate last week. Moav, actually there's the good and the bad of what happened. And yesterday, Sedra with Lot and his daughters. The Gemara says in Baba Kama, on Daf Lamed Ches, it begins on Lamed Chesam and Aleph and Lamed Chesam and Beis. Moshe Rabbeinu was told, Al Totzares Moav. He shouldn't oppress Moav. And don't incite war against them. And the Gemara says, V'chima ol al daita shol Moshe lasas mochama shalo birshus. What, do you think Moshe would go ahead and just start attacking enemies without being told to do so? Why does Hashem have to say, don't attack Moab? Why should Moshe attack Moab? If he's not told to, he's not going to go to war. And the Gemara explains, Elanosa Moshe kal v'chomer ba'atzmo. Moshe Rabbeinu had a kal v'chomer. He had a reasoning that would tell him to go to war. Because we know that Midian gave the advice against Klal Yisrael. Bilaam came from Midian to curse Klal Yisrael, and then he gave the advice when that wasn't successful to try to persuade and seduce the Jewish men into immorality. So Moab had the ideas, they had the counsel how to bring about our downfall, and they were not successful. And the Torah says, Sororas ha-Midyonim v'hikisem osam, that we should attack Midian. So if Midian, that gave the advice, is attacked, Moavim atzmam lo kol shkein, Moab were the ones who actually did it. Moab was the ones who hired Bilaam, and Moab was the ones, but Yochalom liznos al benos Moab, the people began sinning with the daughters of Moab. Moab was the one that was actually brought about our suffering. So Moshe Rabbeinu figured, if Midian we should attack, certainly Moab. Omlo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Lo kisha osa al daitcha osa al daiti. Not like you think, is what I think. Koshtei preidos tovos yeshli lehotzi mehen. I have two nice pigeons, like gentle kosher birds. I have two birds to bring out from these nations of Ammon and Moab. Rus ha-Moaviyo v'namo ha-Ammonis. Rus came from Moab, and from the nation of Ammon came out Nama, and Nama later on married Shlomo HaMelech, and had a son, Rechavam, who was the next king over Yisrael. And therefore, there's something good that's going to come out of those nations. And therefore, you don't attack Moab. Then the Gemara continues, that Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mekapeach Schar Kol Beriyah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't cut off the reward of anyone. Anything good that's done gets a reward. Afilu Schar Sicha Noe. Even the schar for a nice talk, if you use a good word, you get rewarded. De'ilu b'chira de ka'amra Moav. The two daughters of Lot lived with their father, and the older one called her son Moav. Moav comes to the word me'ov, from the father. It's like saying this child was born from his father. That's a very improper, that's not a nice name to give a child. Everyone should go down in history, this child is illegitimate, born from his father. The older one said, Moav, Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, Al Tatzar es Moav, don't oppress them. Val Tisko Bo Melchama, don't make a war. But the Gemara says, Angaria Ovi Lehu, but you could make taxes. You could force Moav to provide you with food and drink. You can force Moav to be subservient to you. While the younger daughter called her child Amon, meaning Ben Ami, he's from our own nation. He's from our nation. Which doesn't clearly spell out exactly how's the child from his own nation. But she named it that because he was from the father, but the name doesn't imply that negative connotation. He's from our nation. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, when you come, v'karav tamul b'nei Amon, al tetzurim v'al tisgar bom, klal. Don't start up with Amon at all. Amon had that special consideration because at least when the name was given her, Amon's matriarch, their mother, at least used a nice word, called the child Amon, and therefore we don't start up with Amon. And one other statement the Gemara says, La'olam yaktim adam lidvar mitzvah. A person should go as soon as possible and do a mitzvah. Shabishvil laila acha shekod masal b'chir li tzi'ira. The older daughter, they thought this was a mitzvah, that there was nobody left in the world. And they were the ones who, the continuity of the world was dependent on them. They felt it was a mitzvah. The older daughter who went early for the mitzvah, and she lived with the father that first night, Kodmasa Arbor Doros Li Yisrael. She merited that her descendants came four generations earlier than her sister's descendants into Klal Yisrael. She had a descendant, Ruth, as we said, and then there was Oved, was the son of Ruth, Yishai, David, and Shlomo, and then from Amon, began after that. Shlomo married Nama, and then afterwards there are descendants. So it comes out very interesting. On one hand, Moav is described as a mitzvah, and the fact that she did it that night earlier, she's zocha, that her descendants are part of Klal Yisrael earlier. On the other hand, the fact that she named her child Moav from the father, therefore we have the right to subjugate Moav, and Moav, we were allowed to demand that they provide food and supplies for Klal Yisrael. They had to pay levies, taxes. Ve'evrosa lochein bada, from the very beginning of Moav, from their conception, even on one hand it's a mitzvah, but their conception, being born from such a union, perhaps that's what led to their negative traits, their character faults. And according to Rashi, that's what the Pasuk is saying. We've heard of the pride of Moav, their haughtiness, ve'evrosu, but from the heroyon, from the ibur, from their pregnancy, lochein badov. There, it's not good. Lochein, therefore, in Pasuk Zayin, yeyelil Moav. Either because Moav doesn't help out Klal Yisrael, or because Moav is too proud to ask for their own, to ask for help. But therefore, yeyelil Moav. Moav is going to wail. L'Moav. They'll wail for Moav. Nobody else is going to wail. They're going to be the ones suffering, and Moav will wail for Moav. But nobody else will care about them. And it won't just be a certain area of Moab or part of the populace, but Kulo Yeyelil, the whole country, everyone is going to wail in Moab. La Shishe Kir Chareses, about the foundations of Kir Chareses, this city, which was a fortress and had the foundations, I guess, were famous. Others learn Ashishe means the walls, but this fortress, this city Kir Chareses, Tegu, they'll be mourning. The only ones who are going to mourn over the destruction of Kir Chareses, Ach Nechoim, only those who are broken, those that are suffering, the people of Moab, who are defeated, they'll be the ones to mourn over their city Kir Chareses. The rest of the world won't care for Moab, because Moab didn't care about others. They were just proud of themselves and haughty. Tegu can also mean, Tegu can mean to speak, like V'hagisa bo yomam v'layla. Tegu can mean to take out, hogo, to extract. The Malbim learns there's a fortress here, and there's a war going on. But Lashishe Kir Chareses, over the foundations, the walls of Kir Chareses, Tegu, instead of the army coming out and fighting, who's going to come out? Ach Nechoim, the only ones coming out to the walls of the city are those who are wounded, those that are broken. They'll bring the wounded people there to set up an infirmary. They won't be bringing anyone there to fight. Ki Shadmos Cheshbon Umlol, because the Shadmos, the fields of Cheshbon Umlol, are cut off, they're weakened. Gefen Sivma, the vines of Sivma. Bale Goyim Holmu Sirukeho, Bale Goyim, the rulers of the nations, Holmu Sirukeho, they chop down, they cut all the long vines. Moab is described as this fertile, lush country with crops and sheep, and now the goyim are going to come and rip apart the vineyards, destroy the fields. Ad Yazer no go, they're going to be hit to the place Yazer. To Midbar, they're going to wander in the desert. A lot of these cities are mentioned in Chumash, Cheshbon, Yazer, Sivma. These were the nations that were taken over by the Aseres HaShvatim. And when the Aseres HaShvatim is exiled, Moab moved right in. And Shlucho Seho, those vines that are sent out, Nichu, they are become uprooted, Avru Yom, and they're carried across the sea. And Moab will be exiled and taken away from their land. Al Kain Evke, and therefore I'll cry, the Novi says, Bivchi Yazer, the way I cried over Yazer, I'm going to have these same tears and mourning over Gefen Sivma, the vine of Sivma. Arayovech Dimosi, my tear will like saturate, it'll drench you with tears. Cheshbon Vel Olay, over the cities of Cheshbon and El Olay. Ki Al Ketzech, over your, Ketzech is the summer fruits, the figs that dry in the summer. Val Ketzirech, and over your harvest, Heidah Nofal, now all of a sudden the enemy, of the shouts of the enemy has descended on the land. And according to the Malbim, the meaning is the Novi just sees purposeless suffering. It's, in other words, if they would just ask for help, Chizkiyo would be certainly happy to assist, and they would provide them refuge. And because they're too proud, therefore the whole beautiful land of Moab, the fields and the vines, the vineyards, Hadad Nafal, now they're going to be the shouts of the enemy on this place. V'nesav Simcha V'gil min HaKarmel. Carmel is the fertile land. Well, now there won't be any gladness or joy. Simcha is a constant state of happiness. Gil is the sudden burst of excitement. But there won't be Simcha. Simcha is if there was a good harvest. So when you first bring in that harvest, there's a gil. There's a jubilation. As you wait the whole year, and there's many things that can go wrong in every step. And all of a sudden, when you finish the crop, there's a gil, there's a sudden joy that, wow, this was a good year, and you can look over at how much money came into the economy. And then there's a simcha year-round. You know that last year was a good year, and there's, things are going well, and there's an ongoing joy. But v'nesav simcha, there won't be that simcha, that long-lasting simcha. And vagil, there won't be the sudden jubilation, because there won't be the excitement of bringing in the crops and having the success. That'll all be finished, min ha-karmel. The fertile fields of Moab will be desolate. Uvakromim lo yirunon. And in the vineyards, there won't be rejoicing. V'lo yiroa. And there won't be shouts of joy. Others learned that yiroa, when they wanted to harvest the grapes, first they had a shout, they had a proclamation, they called everyone's attention, then they went to the field and they harvested it, whatever number of days that took. And after they've harvested all the grapes, then they burst out in joy, and it became a celebration, a big party that they finished the season. But if akrum lo yirunon, there won't be this singing at the end of the harvest. V'lo yiroa, they won't even bother calling the people to pick the grapes, because it's all going to be destroyed. It won't get to that point. Yayin v'yakovim, the wine that's in the vineyard, or that's in the wine presses, lo yidroch hadorech, the treader will not step on those grapes. Heidod hishpati, I've stopped the word heidod. Now heidod was a pasuk, the word heidod we just had in the previous pasuk. Heidod means a shout. Some learn it's like had, as an echo. But you hear a voice reverberating. And it could be the shouts of the enemy in the previous pasuk. It can be heidod, the shouts of the chanting and the tune that they sing along, where they have a chant and a mantra that they repeat and repeat when they're working the grapes. And yayin by yakovim, the wine and the wine presses, won't be. Lo yidruch hadorech, the presser won't step on the grapes, because there won't be grapes, they'll be destroyed, the enemy will have it. Heidod hishpati, all those chants of singing will stop. Alkein mei lemoav, and therefore my insides from Moav kakinor yamu, they're going to moan like a harp, like they have the harp strings. Imagine the intestines that are just so narrow, and the intestines, imagine them as like the strings of a harp. And therefore my innards from Moav kakinor yamu, they're going to moan like a harp, they're going to make a sad sound. The kirbi and my insides, the kir chores, over the city kir chores that we mentioned before, the walls of kir chareses, kir chores. V'hoya kinira, and it will be when Moav finally sees kinila Moav, when they see kinila Moav, that Moav is weary. Moab finally realized that they don't have the strength to fight the enemy. It actually has happened. The punishment's here. And they just feel that they don't have the power to fight. Kinila Moab alaboma, and they go up to the high place. And Moab realizes it's the end. Ovoil mikdasho, and he'll come to his mikdash, his holy place, his temple, lispalel, to pray, v'lo yuchol, and he won't be able to. Some Mephoshim learn he won't be able to, because he'll just be so drained of energy, so powerless. It's a musar to all of us, you know. It's the truth is we gotta daven when you're able to. But somebody like Moav, after this, sometimes a person can get to the point where he just can't. He doesn't have the strength. He'll come to mikdasho lispal, then already he'll want to daven, and it'll be too late. V'lo yuchol, he can't. He won't be able to. And other Mephoshim say, Lo Yuchal, he won't be able to, because right down to the end, he's not going to dive into Hashem, but he's going to pray to his idols, Lo Yuchal, and therefore he won't be able to achieve any salvation, because even at the end, he's not Makir HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the end of Moav. Zeh HaDavar. This is the word Asher Diber Hashem al Moav Meyoz. This is what Moav, Hashem had spoken about Moav, had spoken for Moav Meyoz from before. It could be this nevuah was said over many times. It was a message sent to Moab at different points. According to the Mefarshim, that they're supposed to help out Klal Yisrael, they were told that many times. Obviously, they didn't accept it. But it's, you know, I always find these things very difficult to sort of imagine with, you know, happening nowadays. But it could happen. You could imagine somebody would arise and tell, you know, the king, it's his, tell the president, it's his religious obligation. And there are those, that there are those, there are religious Gentiles, and they believe, and then they'll say clearly it's the Jews, it's the obligation of the Gentiles to help out the Jews. There is such an awareness among some. But you can imagine, well, it's over here, they were warned and they were told that it's there, that they're supposed to help out. But this is what Hashem had said about Moav Meyoz from back then. Rashi has an explanation, either Meyoz from the time that Yeshaya first said this, or Meyoz can mean from way back when Balak hired Bilaam. At that time, Hashem said to Moab, they better be on guard because they're going to be destroyed. They got to prepare themselves. They got to change their ways, or it's already been decreed that Moab will get their punishment. Which again, you go through Moab and Midian, you learn it in Chumash. And you got to realize sometimes it might take centuries, but eventually they receive their punishment. Va'ata now. Now it also has a greater urgency. Diber Hashem Lemor. Hashem spoke saying, B'sholoshonim, in 3 years, Kishnei Sochir, and these are 3 exact years like the years of a Sochir. If you hire a laborer and you're paying him a set sum of money, I'm paying you on a 3-year contract. You got to work for 3 years, this is your salary. He works exactly 3 years. So the Navi says, for precisely the 3 years, there was a certain 3-year point in history that v'niklo kvod Moav, therefore Moav's honor will become insignificant and unimportant. The 3 years is, Rashi says, bishvil shalosh shonim shesayu es Sancheiriv kishetzor al Shomron. When Sancheiriv came, and first he conquered the 10 tribes, Shomron, and he laid siege to the cities. It took 3 years. During those 3 years, Moab helped out. Va'azaruhu b'li betza. And they helped out for free. Moab didn't charge any money. They were happy to see Shomron exiled. It was as if they would have been hired in the 3 years. B'sholoshonim 3 years kishnei sochir, and they work like somebody hired, but they weren't hired. They weren't getting any money, and yet they worked as if they were being paid. And therefore, v'niklo kvod Moav, Moav's honor will become unimportant and worthless. And another explanation is, in exactly 3 years, when Yeshaya said this, at this point, from 3 years from now, Moav will get their punishment. It won't be longer than 3 years. The Nikla Kvod Moav, the honor of Moav, will turn to a disgrace. B'chol ha'homon orov, with all of their multitude of people, u'sha'or ma'at, there'll be sha'or a little bit, ma'at, few, mizor, small, all different words that there's going to be very little, lo kabir, not many. Some of course, in ours, there'll be almost nothing left of Moav. Some learn it means in quantity, there'll be sha'or, ma'at, mizor, there'll be very few, the quantity of Moav, there'll be few people left. And the few left in quality, lo kabir, they won't be mighty, they won't be many, I mean, they won't have the strength. Moav will get their punishment. Yeshaya has finished his nevuah in these 2 prokim about Moav. And once again, the Mefarshim mentioned that the complaint against Moav was so close to Klal Yisrael. And there was such an opportunity of joining together with us. And instead of helping out, they turned against, they weren't makir tov, the chesed that Avram did with Lot. and their closeness to Eretz Yisrael, instead of helping us out and providing refuge, anybody who came into their land, they refused shelter, they refused to help them out, and therefore Moab received the punishment. Yitzhak Hashem, next week we'll learn about Damascus, about Damascus.